Penguin Random House Audio presents How to Ruin Everything, Essays. This is the author, George Watsky. Introduction. There is no book so bad that it does not have something good in it. Miguel de Cervantes Saavedra, Don Quixote. I started writing these pieces as a form of self-reflection following a series of dumb and personally destructive decisions. How come if people keep telling me I'm so smart, I keep doing such stupid things, I pondered. The stories in this book touch on many delightful strategies for self-sabotage, all pulled from the kaleidoscope of my personality. Hubris, egotism, carelessness, laziness, stubbornness, lust, fear, self-hatred, neurosis, and more. If some positive qualities seep into your impression of me along the way, remember that I wrote this, and personal essaying is propaganda of the highest order, so anything that makes me look cool is also an example of my narcissism. I truly hope you get something good out of How to Ruin Everything. If you come away with a bit of entertainment or a cautionary lesson, we wouldn't have wasted all our time for nothing. And perhaps, if you truly aspire to ruin everything, it's best you stop reading right now. For I came to a troubling conclusion as I neared this book's completion. The only good way to ruin everything is by accident. If you make an effort to do it, you've tried, and sadly, trying is its own success. Unfortunately, by the time I had this realization, Penguin was already marketing the book, and it was too late to change the name. I had a good cry until it occurred to me that at least I'd succeeded on failing to deliver on the promise of the title. And that may not be everything, but hey, nobody's perfect. Tusk. The Los Angeles neighborhood of Mid-City is notable mostly for being between other places. A district surrounded by woods, Holly and Ingle to the north and south, downtown and Santa Monica to the east and west, Mid-City's in the dead center of town, the Oklahoma of L.A., and my college friends and I lived there for a year following graduation, a block and a half from a recent string of grisly point-blank shotgun murders and the densest concentration of tire shops in the known universe. If I ever worked for the Board of Tourism, I'd propose Mid-City. Weird spot to raise a kid. Great place to catch a flat. But there must have been children because, although I never saw them, there was apparently enough demand to support a Kinder Kids daycare center on our corner, directly across the street from City Spa, our seedy neighborhood bathhouse. Kinder Kids' towering blue yard walls were ringed with dense coils of barbed wire. Not garden-variety tear-your-jeans barbed wire, but the industrial-strength leg amputation type. Huge, jagged steel teeth I imagined were blowtorched from the hulls of discarded Navy warships. It kept the predators from crawling in, and it kept the kids from crawling out. We'd relocated from Boston to our one-story Spanish clay-roofed house together. It's a tired script. Four college kids coming to take Hollywood by storm. We were off to a slow start. And Mid-City didn't feel any closer to the industry than Boston. We could see Hollywood faintly from our house, far beyond Kinder Kids, ringed with high fences and iron spines of its own, but we spent our days on the outside in limbo. After an appearance on a late-night HBO poetry showcase a few years earlier, my ambitions as a rapper and beloved public figure had stalled. Occasionally, I'd fly to the real Oklahoma for a spoken word gig at a college coffee house. But mostly we congealed on the couch, watching hours of Deadliest Catch, looking for work, waiting for our phones to ring, generally really, really bored. Between things. One August night, I sat at our backyard fire pit drinking and talking summer plans with my obliviously handsome aspiring filmmaker roommate Jackson. In a few weeks, he was heading to Denver for his great Aunt June's 100th birthday party. I hadn't met her yet, but Aunt June's legend cast an imposing shadow. She was a woman, Jackson told me, with a big imagination, but it was a blood-splattered Grimm's fairy tales type fantasy. She loved anything exotic, petrified, or taxidermied. Aunt June was a self-described rock hound, someone who visits geological trade shows the way deadheads follow tour stops. She and her son, a conservative in his mid-70s, spent their free time bartering gemstones and fossilized trilobites at warehouses that alternated weekends between rodeos and monster truck rallies.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?